Chronicles chapter number 7. I guess we preached and taught around, talked about it. I know here a while back Mike did something on 2 Chronicles 7. I can't remember what it was, maybe opening up or something. And I know Chad's been working on 2 Chronicles 7 in the Sunday school class. And I'm probably not going to tell you anything you don't already know, just to be perfectly frank about it. But I want to try to challenge you tonight, if I can't. Before we begin, quickly, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you that you sought me out and found me, Father. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being long-suffering, gentle, kind, and good to me, merciful to me, Father. I love you tonight. I love you. Now, Lord, you've called me into this work, and Lord, this is the hour and time for me to try to obey you. And you know, as far as I can tell, this is what you put on my heart for tonight. I ask you, Lord, if you would, to just do what needs doing in the hearts of your people. Thy blessed will be done, Father. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, this is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. And I want to back up and kindly bring you up to date. Solomon begins to pray in chapter 6 in verse number 12. And it says in verse, I want to go over to verse 30, maybe let's start in verse 34. Let's start in verse 34. If thy people, this is Solomon praying, if thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen in thy house, which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there's no man which sinneth not. Did you get that? For there's no man which sinneth not. Ridgeview Baptist Church, for there is no man which sinneth not. Amen. No man which sinneth not. Well, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. For there is no man which sinneth not. That ETH on the end of the word means it's a continual thing. That means we have to ask forgiveness on a continual basis. Don't get too holy on me. Don't get too righteous. Don't grow you a set of angels' wings and a halo. We're flesh. And we'll fight the flesh till we leave this world. That's just how it is. Yours might not be temper. It might be jealousy. Yours might be something that's hid where somebody else's is public, but your flesh. And let me say again, for there's no man which sinneth not. Let me back up and start the verse over. That's in parenthesis. So I'm going to skip the parenthetical statement. If they sin against thee, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captive unto a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we've done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart, we have a lot of people that will turn toward God, but not with all their heart. Oh, no. No, God's not going to get all their heart. They're not going to give them all their heart. They've got some other loves that gets their heart as well. They returned to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and towards the house which I built for thy name. Then hear thou from the heavens, even from the dwelling places, their prayers and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, so that was the end of the prayer there. And here's what Solomon's saying. If we get in such a situation that we can't help ourselves, if we'll turn with all our heart and pray to you, will you hear us? Will you hear us? And that's kind of what's leading up to our text this evening. And of course, when Solomon quit praying, the last part of verse chapter 7, verse 1, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And so we see that what's happened, the temple's been completed. The dedication has been going on. This is a prayer of dedications, how some folks talk about this. But here's the thing. Here's what Solomon's saying. When we forsake you and we get in captivity, we're in captivity. Now, when you're in captivity, can you do anything to help yourself? You can't do it. Now, how many of y'all have wayward children? You don't have to raise your hand. What can you do about it? I mean, if they're wayward, can you make them not wayward? Can you do that? Can we really, children of Israel in captivity, could they really just say, "We're going to break out of here and escape"? That had been killed. That had been wiped out. And my point is, Solomon's saying, when we've sinned and we get in such a mess that we can't help ourselves, if we will look to you and call out to you with all our heart, will you help us? That's what he's saying, if I can just paraphrase it for us. And so after he ends the prayer, the glory of the Lord fills the house. And I want you just to think about the things that you really can't do anything about. I want you to just think about that. The things maybe sin has created, but you can't do anything about it. It may be in your life. It may be in your children's life. It may be in your spouse's life. Or in your brothers and sisters' lives. But really, I want us to think about things we can't do anything about. And there's some things we can't do anything about. Can we heal somebody's sins, spiritual healing, even physical? I guess maybe a mama might say, "Well, I can be used by the Lord to bring healing," and maybe we can say that spiritually. But can you really do the healing? spiritually or physically, you that have adult children who's wayward, can you make them, can you get them right? Yeah, that's exactly right. You can't get them right. Now, you can do some things that maybe a God in heaven can help get them right, but you can't make them right. How many of you all can do a heart work? Is that not what we need, a heart work on our loved ones? How many of you can do a heart work? Fact of the matter is, none of us can. We cannot do a heart work. And so, I want to take this text tonight, and I want us to think about it in terms of things we can't do anything about. Some of y'all would like to go on with the Lord. You can't do it. Some of you would like to be closer. You can't pull the trigger. Some of you have some things in your life you would like to do. You just can't seem to get there. Is that not so? Is that not so? You know it is. And so here we are, and whether we're in captivity to fear, or whether we're in captivity because we won't be strong and corrupt, whatever it is, if it's sin, whatever. But here we are looking at some folk, and Solomon's saying, if because of our sins you can't bless us, and we get in bad shape and can't help ourselves, if we sincerely turn and pray and toward this temple, will you hear us? And the Lord is going to answer that in verse number 12. And I won't stand long tonight, I don't think. I just want to stand for a few minutes. I kind of see... Now keep in mind, this text is to Israel. We're not taking this text to the New Testament church, but there is an application. It can be extended. The principles here will apply to the New Testament church. But in context, this is the Lord speaking about Israel. But it applies today as well. Verse number 12 says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. He appeared by night. There's a lot of times the Lord will work of a night. He dealt with me about salvation of a night. When I would get in my bed, I think many times that's the only time he can get us still enough to talk to us. I believe that. And so he comes to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. I've heard you praying. Hey, can I tell you, the Lord hears you when you pray. He hears you. And I know every time it doesn't seem exactly maybe like you're getting through, but if you're sincerely trying to, the Lord knows your effort. It's not every time I was reading, I'm going to preach on this for long, I was reading on Oswald Chambers, and he was talking about the mountaintop experiences are exceptions in our Christian life. They are ordained by God, but we're not to live on the mountain. We're to live in the valley, or on the low country at least. I can say it that way. That's where we're supposed to live. And so I want to say this to you. The Lord came to Solomon by night, and he said, I've heard thy prayer. And you may not always think you're successful in your prayer life, but I believe God honors faithfulness. The devil fights me in prayer. I get down to pray, and I can pray. Sometimes I pray pretty good little while, and I'm not saying that bragging, but I'm out here, and you all are working, doing what you have to do to make a living, and this is what I'm here for. But I can tell you, sometimes it takes me 30 minutes even to get in the spirit of prayer. And you just have to fight through it. I mean, I've experienced that. Maybe more so in the last year or two, it takes you a while for your mind to settle down. And a lot of times, for a good part of my praying, I'm saying, Lord, help me to pray. Help me, Lord. My mind's racing. I can't seem to get focused. help me to be able to pray. And I may spend 30 minutes doing that before I ever get settled down. And I may have to stop after I start praying and pray that again. And so I'm saying the devil hates prayer because he knows when you pray, God's listening. And so you need to understand that. Better be careful what you pray. You better be sure you mean what you pray because there's God in heaven listening. He may give you what you're asking for. Well, and I'll tell you what I would do while I'm on prayer. I'd always say at the end, Lord, if I prayed anything contrary to your will, don't grant it. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray for like we should. And we may pray for the wrong thing, and we may be so diligent in it and so faithful to pray for that, God will give it. But hey, you need to ask the Lord to just whatever His will is. Do you know what the will of the Lord is in every matter of your life? You don't know. And I don't either. Now, we know some things that are the will of the Lord. But all right, let's get verse 12. I've run a little rabbit there for a minute. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Now, I don't know if this Solomon got through praying and then the glory filled, and as soon as everybody got settled down, the Lord comes and talks to Solomon. I don't know how much time has elapsed. When Solomon quits praying, it looks like it's just glory. It looks like the glory of the Lord filled the house and they're on a worship thing. A worship experience, if I can say it that way. And then verse 4, they're offering sacrifices. And so verse 11, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, in his own house, he prosperously effected. And maybe it's that night after he's prayed. I don't know what time he prayed. I don't know. I do know the Lord came at the night season. I do know that. And He has a habit of showing up in the night seasons. And so we come down to verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Now the Lord's telling He's had a request. Solomon's given a request. The Lord's answering. Verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among my people. Now here's where I wanted to get to. There's a semicolon there. It's not the end of the sentence. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now, every one of you could teach a little lesson or preach a little message from that. But I want to ask you in verse 13, who shuts up the heavens that there is no rain? The Lord. The Lord. The Lord is the one who makes you productive. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Now, we don't raise crops today, but we work jobs. You know who gives you the ability to have wealth? Those of you that read your Bible through every year ought to know. It's the Lord. I've seen men you could say, my, that's a good worker, and their head almost swells like, man, I'm a working man, you know, and that's good. I mean, being a worker is a noble characteristic, and it's necessary. But who makes you able to work? It's the Lord. Could I tell you, you could have a muscle disease. You could have muscular dystrophy or some of them things that's out there that gets good people sometimes, and you wouldn't be able to work a bit. If you've got strength to work, it's the Lord. And can I tell you, any productivity you have in your life, whether it's the production of a crop, they farmed back then, that's how they made their living, that's how they supplied, for the family and got their food was through their farming. He said, I shut up the heavens. In other words, he's saying this, I'm in charge of your prosperity. And if I choose not to prosper you because of sin, hey, by the way, the Lord can shut your prosperity down if he chooses to. That's right. Shut your prosperity down. Because he said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. If I command the locusts to devour the land, I send people pestilence among my people. But then he puts an if in there. And he says this, if my people, which are called by my name. Now, if there's ever going to be any help in negative circumstances, it's going to have to come from God's people. That's right. If this church ever prospers, if we ever have the blessings of God on it, it will be because of what God's people have done. That's how simple it is. That's how important you are. One man Achan sinned. What happened? The whole nation suffered defeat. The man of God was discouraged and ready to quit. Was afraid. A man that was bold and courageous and strong, he became fearful. And we could just go through all those things that one man's sin caused amongst the children of Israel. But here's what he said. He said, if because of sin I've had to limit your prosperity or bring judgment upon you, he says this, if my people. Now the reason we're in the shape we're in is because of God's people. Now you can just get upset about that, or you can say whatever you want, but God's people's the key. And we're going to try to have a little revival meeting. Really, we'll never deserve a revival. You'll never earn a revival. God will never look down on you and say, hey, they're such good people, I'm sending revival. I believe, I heard a preacher say this once, I believe he's 100% right. If we ever have revival, it'll be because God shows us mercy. Now, but there are some things we can do to position ourselves if God chooses to bring revival, that He can bring revival. There's some things we can do and position ourselves if God chooses to, He can bless us. And I believe this, I believe God wants to bless us. I believe God wants to save our children. I believe if they're wayward, God wants to bring them back in. Do you believe that? I mean, really, we mention them. I could just start mentioning lost. I sat down and wrote them down the other day, Brother Bud. My, the number of lost people there is. And I'm putting people in there who's wayward as well. And I'm just including them in that mix. But my, and just in this little old church right here, it's unbelievable how many. You could pray 45 minutes just for the lost people. And the wayward. I believe it's God's will that they come back to God. And I believe God wants to bless us. What's the problem? What is the problem? Now, you might can say this, timing is part of it, preacher. I believe that. I believe we might pray and God might hear and answer our prayer. It may be a year down the road. Might be 2 years down the road. It may be after we're gone, as in Brother Bud's mother's case. It may be. But here's what it says. Here's what the Word of God says, and here's the principles we need to remember. You can make a difference. You will make a difference. You'll either make a difference for good or a difference for bad. Amen. You'll either be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to get in the middle there. I'm not really going to get in. I'm not really going to be out. I'm just going to strike a happy medium. I'm just going to be, it doesn't work that way. You're either a vessel of honor for the glory of God or you bring dishonor to Him. Amen. What kind of vessel are you? What kind of vessel are you? I'm just in the middle. No, you're not. There is no middle ground. You're a vessel of honor. You're a vessel of dishonor. Can you think about this? You think about this. There may be some folk at the Ridgeview Baptist Church bringing dishonor to our Lord. Man, that's a sad thought, isn't it? I don't think that of any of you all. But it could be. I don't know what you're doing out there. Oh, everybody puts on the face at the church. You know that. We're all holy and godly at church. But what about when we get out there? Nobody's around. We may have some vessels of dishonor here. You're one or the other. You either bring honor or you bring dishonor. Well, you're either gathering or scattering, isn't that what it says? All right, listen, let me get back to my text just a little bit. My people, it's you. If anything's done, it'll be you and me. And by the way, it doesn't say if the man of God. It doesn't say if the preacher only does this. Hey, it doesn't say if a person. It says if my people. Now I understand he's talking to the nation that was in captivity. He's thinking about that scene, and he's thinking about a nation that he's withdrawn his prosperity on the crops and not allowed the rain to come or allowed the locusts to devour. But we're talking collectively at this point. If my people, which are called by my name, the first thing, shall humble themselves. We're proud people. You know we've got so much pride, it's pitiful. We're proud people. We're too proud to even be obedient when we might humiliate ourselves. We're too proud to go to the altar when God moves on our heart. You know that's so. You know that's the day. We're too proud to raise our hands and say, praise the Lord. Many times we're too proud for that. We're so afraid we'll embarrass ourselves. That's pride. When you let your pride cause you to disobey, you're sinning. Here's what you need to do. You need to humble yourself. Can I tell you? You're not anything. Don't build yourself up. And don't think. I don't know. I guess I've embarrassed myself so many times it's not quite as devastating as it used to be. But here's how Peter said it. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. You got pride in your life? God resists you. God resists you. Hey, doesn't it say hates a proud look? Or is the proud look an abomination? I can't remember which it is over in Proverbs. He hates a proud look. Man, that's just where we live at. Everybody's proud. I mean, so proud. And and so afraid to really just serve God. But here's what he said, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You need grace? Humble your heart before God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We need some humility. And here's what's being said. Hey, if I shut up the heavens, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Why are we so proud? Shall humble themselves and pray. And pray. I wonder how much prayers went on this week. I wonder just how much prayer has went on this week. Have you prayed 30 minutes this week? We've had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, well, 4 days. 4 days. How much prayer have you done? How much praying, I should say, have you done? Why? And I know some of you are praying people. I believe that. I'm not belittling. I believe there's praying people here. I believe that. But how much praying have you done this week? Why? Why hadn't you prayed? You don't believe it works? Maybe the Lord don't want us to pray. No, we know better than that, don't we? No, we know He wants us to pray. Why is it we haven't prayed? I don't know. But Steve, I can't answer that question. I really believe if a congregation, and this is our church, I mean, there may be a few more people that's really concerned about the church, but really the Wednesday night crowd is the ones who care. You know that. A person who consistently doesn't come on Wednesday night, far as I'm concerned, they're really... And I understand some work jobs and some... I understand. Please don't run me in the ditch. But those who consistently could come and don't come, I'm not sure they're concerned about the church. I just don't believe. I believe God's good people who care about the things of God and put the Lord first, they'll be here on Wednesday nights. That's just what I believe. Now, please, I understand you can be providentially hindered and some of you boys work shift work, Brother Steve and Brother Ronnie, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you can and you don't, and you do that on a regular, consistent basis, I don't think you're much interested in the church, the work of the Lord. That's probably a pretty harsh statement, but that's how I feel about it. Maybe I better just leave it at that. Okay, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, I don't think there's much praying going on today. First of all, because the devil fights it so. And second of all, because God's people as a whole have one foot in the world, one foot in the church. And the first thing to go is prayer. The first thing that will leave your spiritual life is your prayer life. I believe that. That's where the battle's at. One fellow said this, prayer is not preparation for the battle. It is the battle. It is the battle. Make this a priority in your life. Pray 30 minutes a day. Maybe the way you pray, you have to break it up 10, 10, and 10. But just pray 30 minutes a day. I'll promise you, you could pray. I could give you a list, and it would all be related to the Ridgeview Baptist Church. You could pray a good while if you'd really pray like you should. Well, here's what's got to happen if the Lord is going to do anything. Number one, there has to be some humility. Number two, there has to be some prayer. Number three, there's going to have to be some seeking of the Lord's face. I said this maybe Sunday, I don't remember. It's kind of nudging me. How many of you have ever gotten in the glory? How many of you have ever been praying? And I don't know how to... I don't know how to define getting in the glory, but it's like God is right there with you. Have you ever prayed and got to that point? I mean, it's the room so full, you can't hardly stay there. Have you ever been there? Have you ever prayed and God just showed up? And my, you're so full, you don't know what to do. You just maybe raise your hands and start praising God. Have you ever been in the glory? I think that's what it's saying here. Seek my face. Get my presence. Some of you young folk ought to try to get in the glory. Y'all trying to get in the glory every now and then. And if you'll seek His face, if you'll draw nigh to God, the Bible says He'll draw nigh to you. My, there's nothing like getting in the glory. It will energize you. I mean, what it does, it gets your eyes off man, gets your eyes on the Lord where they're supposed to be. Well, you're going to have to seek His face. You're going to have to humble yourself. And there ain't a handful of people willing to humble themselves, willing to risk humiliation for the glory of God. Not a handful of people willing to do that. Not in this day and time. I asked you about turning your TV off for 2 weeks. And that was, I could sense that was just out of the question. I could sense that. I mean, I can just imagine when we stand at the judgment seat, starts to say the great white throne, the judgment seat of Christ. And we're all giving account. One was stoned and one was beheaded. It comes our turn. What did you do? I turned my TV off for 2 weeks. Folks, we're not doing much for the Lord, are we? If we just be honest and we compare ourselves to them old saints, they lived in dens and mountains and the rocks, wandered about destitute, goat skins for clothes. God's blessed us and we don't even have time for it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You say, I don't have any. For there is no man which sinneth not. Then, this is a conditional promise. If you'll do these things, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now that's the nation Israel, and the people Israel had sinned. I'll forgive their sin, I'll restore them, and I'll heal their land. And here's what I think. I think we need healing. And I think we need forgiveness, restoration. That's what I wanted to say. We need healing and restoration. Only God can do that. You can't do it. But what you can do, if you will, you can humble yourself. And you can pray. And you can seek His face. And if you get in the face of... If you get with the Lord, you'll be like old Isaiah, woe is me, for I'm undone, a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'll tell you why we feel so good about ourselves. We've not been in the presence of the Lord. That's right, we've not been in the presence. When you're not in the presence of the Lord, you feel real spiritual. You feel real holy and real godly. But you get around the Lord, you'll see just what you are. You'll just see, and I know how pitiful we really are. Church, here's what I'm saying. I believe this is a formula for God to help us. We need help. We need help. Are your homes exactly in the order they're supposed to be in? You husbands, are you really the spiritual leader of your house? You wives, are you really in submission to godly spiritual leaders of your home? Are your homes right? Is your parenting lining up by the Word of God? Some of you scared to death to whip your children. The Bible says if you don't, you're let me just say it this way, you're in trouble. You hate your children. You'll send them to hell. I've forgotten exactly how that verse reads, but it speaks something to that effect. Here's all I'm trying to say to you on this Wednesday night. Would you just think about humbling yourself and praying and trying to find the face of God? And whatever God does or speaks to you about, would you consider turning from it? Just turn. Some of you right now know you're living in a way that's not pleasing to the Lord. I mean, you know there's things in your life that ought to be different. And you've just, for whatever reason, you've just not made a turn on it. You've just not changed it. And you're trying to serve God in that condition. Hey, if we want the blessings of God, I think we need to do our part. That's all I'm trying to say to you tonight. I hope tonight you've not felt like I'm beating you over the head, because I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to belittle you. I'm just trying to point out to you, we might be more Laodicean than we'd like to think. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. Everything's going good. It's just perfect. And yet we're wretched and blind. Cannot see afar off. Mind, because we're lukewarm, He's going to break fellowship with us, spew us out of His mouth. I'm asking you today, we're getting ready to have a revival here in a couple of weeks. Maybe it'd been right to preach this a little closer, revival time. But maybe we need to get right before the preacher gets here. So God can work and can do and help us. That's all I'm saying tonight. Hey, I think there's application. I know it's written to Israel, but I believe that'll apply. I know it will to us today. Humble yourself, pray, seek His face, turn from your wicked ways. All right, let's bow our heads. I'm going to just have Sister Jordan, just come play a little something, just a verse on the piano. I know I've not told you anything you've not known. I know you've heard it. I know you've preached on it and taught on it here before. I just wonder, has God spoken to anybody tonight? You just need to pray. I don't know. I'm just trying to obey the Lord. I'm just trying to give to you what God put on my heart this evening.